Our civilization is far above anything the world has ever known before. When the truth of the matter is, civilization has been deteriorating ever since the days of the Babylonian Empire, rather than progressing. When the Bible speaks about the Gentile dominion, it starts with gold and ends with clay. We think, for example, that we have a corner on culture and refinement, and yet in our day we're finding even that when you get to a certain place, a civilization like a circle, you progress and progress and progress and progress and progress and progress. You come back heathen again. Before you know it, you've made the circle. We found that education, our educational centers, have gone so far until we're back to paganism again. But you know, the matter of medicine, we have the idea that we have all the latest things about medicine, and yet isn't it interesting how that we find something that is the latest thing about medicine, and before long we find out that wasn't so good after all? Medicine is nothing new, and physicians are certainly nothing new. Cyrus, the king of Persia, for example, sent to Egypt in his reign for an oculist. Darius had Egyptian physicians at Susa. Darius did. In Egypt, for example, they had a practitioner for every disease. Talk about specialists. You went to the doctor if you had a certain disease, that a practitioner was for that particular disease. Podiatrists, is that the way you put it? They were prevalent in Egypt in early days. Optometrists were available. Even women doctors were available before the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hezekiah, it is said in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 12, Hezekiah sought the physicians instead of the Lord, and that was one of his problems. In the Bible, we have different means of medicine. In Isaiah 1 and 6, we find bandages mentioned. In Luke 10:34, in Isaiah chapter 1, we find the mention of oil and oil baths for medicinal purposes. We find in 2 Kings 20 and verse 7, in Jeremiah 8 and verse 22, mentioning salve as a medicine in the Bible. We find that roots and leaves are mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 42 and verse 12 as medicine. We find that juices were mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. Now here's what I'm saying this morning. Listen carefully. Our Lord has gone to every length possible to make us understand what salvation is all about. He has done His best to bring salvation down to our level so anybody can understand how to be saved. For example, He talks about salvation as being as eating food. Salvation is food. You get hungry and you eat. That's the way to be saved. You know you're lost. You know you need to be saved. Reach out and take the food and you eat it, and that's the way you get saved. Our Lord tells us about salvation. You say, I'll take you, and He says, I'll take you, and the preacher says, you took each other, and you're married. Why? You gave yourself one to the other. Salvation is giving yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentioned salvation like taking a drink of water. You're thirsty, you reach out, you take a glass, you drink the water. Salvation's that way. Our Lord said He is the living water, and if you're thirsty and need of salvation, reach out and take it, and you can be saved. Again, our Lord speaks about salvation as being going through a door. Here's a door, and you open the door, you walk through. Jesus says, I am the door. Over and over and over again, salvation is mentioned in the Bible, and illustrations that make it so simple. I've said again and again from this pulpit, most people will not go to hell because they cannot understand how to be saved. Most folks will go to hell because they won't believe how easy it is to understand and how simple salvation is. You know, I'm getting very famous across the country by being made very famous by some of my enemies. There's a sermon going across the country called Easy Believism. Easy Believism. And some preachers who are enemies of our church and of salvation and getting a lot of folks saved, they can't get anybody saved much, so they've got to figure out reasons why we are. And so they got a sermon called Easy Believism. And all across the country they're criticizing Easy Believism, Easy Believism. Well, I'm glad they're doing it because they're preaching the gospel when they do it. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. People go to hell because they add to salvation, not because they don't know enough about it. Listen to me. It is easier for a child who hears the gospel for the first time to understand it than it is for a PhD from a seminary. People oftentimes say, I don't think he's old enough to understand. What you ought to say sometimes is, I think he's too old to understand. It is easier. Listen, let's see. Where is that boy? Are you Reuben? Gabriel. I'm sorry. I knew it was Gabriel or Michael, one of the archangels. But Gabriel, stand up. How old are you, Gabriel? 12. Now, did you know it's easier for Gabriel to be saved? Thank you, Gabriel. Than for a PhD? Easier. You know why? Because the PhD could... You mean all I've got to do is realize I'm a sinner and realize that I'm lost and going to hell, that Jesus died for me, and all I've got to do is trust Him? I can't believe that. I believe you've got to have some candles to light, and I believe you've got to have some juice to drink, and I believe you've got to have a Eucharist to take, and I believe you've got to have some ritual, and I believe you've got to have some high church tradition. I can't believe that. The PhD can't understand it. Reuben? Gabriel? Michael? Lucifer, I'm not sure which one, but Gabriel can. Why? Because Gabriel can understand it. It's simple. He doesn't have anything to mess him up. And our Lord again and again and again tells us salvation is simple. It's as simple as drinking water. It's as simple as eating lunch. It's as simple as getting married. I mean, you can get married simply, you know. It is, there are easy ways. It's as simple as getting married. It's as simple as going through a door. And our Lord tells us again, He says, now I want to show you another way how easy salvation is. I want to explain it to you so you can understand it. It's like going to a doctor. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer, the sympathizing Jesus. Sweetest note in the seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus, so wrote the writer. The great physician. And our Lord likens Himself to a doctor. He likens you to a patient who's sick. And He says, look, getting saved is like going to a doctor. And that's why Job said in Job 13 and verse 4, He said, you're physicians of no value. Physicians of no value. Now, in the first place, our Lord spoke of the lost people as people needing a physician. In Matthew 9:12, in Mark 2:17, in Luke 5:31, He says, the whole have no need of a physician but the sick. And so this morning, if you are not saved, then you are like a person needing to go to the doctor. What does it mean? It means that you're sick. The disease that typifies your sickness is leprosy. You are sick. You are in sin. You need to go to a doctor. Our Lord typifies you as being one who needs a physician. Number two, He spoke of Himself as medicine and as a physician. In Jeremiah 8:22, He says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no medicine in Gilead? Is there no physician there? He Himself is... Now, you've been to the doctor. You don't feel good. You have a headache. You have a... And you feel sick at your stomach. And pretty soon, there's more room in this world than there is in your stomach. And so your stomach becomes whirly. And before you know it, you're regurgitating. That's a nice word for another word. You're regurgitating. And you say, I feel terrible. Now, men get sicker than ladies. I've said this before, but men get sicker than ladies. You ladies have to understand one thing now, and it'll help you if you'll understand it. We get sick easier than you do. I mean, you can have 104 fever and strep throat, but we expect you to go right on. I mean, you go ahead and take care of all your details and duties. But if we get 98 and 8/10, we're sick. Now, you just don't know. We groan and carry on, get a hot water bottle on our head and check the insurance policies. You've got to understand that we just get sicker than you do. And also, I might say we're bigger cowards than you are, too. But anyway, you get sick, and you say, I've got to go to the doctor. So you go to the doctor, and the doctor diagnoses you, and he says, this is what you need. And that's the way you get saved. Our Lord says, I'm the doctor, and I'm the medicine. If you'll just come to me and take my prescription, I'll see to it that you go to heaven when you die. And so he makes it so easy. So he spoke of himself as need, as the medicine, and as the physician. Number three. Now, if a physician is in need, quacks inevitably arise. Did you hear about that doctor? Was it in Texas? Yeah, it was in Overton, Texas, I think it was. Where? Well, we probably had a lot of them in Texas. All of it happens in Texas. But this doctor, the fellow, I said, doctor, nothing. He went to town. He didn't have a medical degree. He set himself up a practice. He put his shingle out, Dr. So-and-so. He was a town doctor. He delivered babies. He performed surgery. He was the most, one of the most respected men in the neighborhood. And they found out the fellow didn't know a thing. I mean, he hadn't even been to medical school. And so forth. And all the babies that had been born weren't really born. They found out he was a quack. Inevitably, when a profession becomes lucrative, quacks and imposters rise. And that's why the Lord says, he says, now look, beware, there are physicians of no value. I am the great physician, Jesus said. You're sick. You need to go to a physician. You're in sin. You need to get saved. Now he says, like going to a doctor. But he says, there's one thing you'll have to watch. You'll have to watch out for the quacks. You'll have to be very careful for the quacks. For a long time, I wouldn't go to a chiropractor. Now, personally, I like chiropractors now. Good ones, I think they're good. I go to the chiropractor myself about once every, 35, 40 years. I go regularly. But I go about once every 2 months, I guess. And I'm not opposed to chiropractors. I think they do some good. And I just went yesterday. But anyway, I think they do some good. But, you know, I wouldn't go for a long time. I recall one time I was in a certain town, a revival meeting. And I had a migraine headache. I used to have terrible migraine headaches. Oh, once every 2-3 weeks. Now I have them once a year or so. But I used to have terrible migraine headaches. And I was in a town, had a revival. So the fellow said, now, pastor said, you need to go to a chiropractor. And I said, well, what is a chiropractor? Well, he said, that's a doctor that manipulates your spine. You know, says you take your shirt off and he feels down there, you know, and finds something like that. Then you go to the medical doctor and have it put in a splint. But anyway, he said, they can help your headaches. I said, man, anything. I'll try it. So we went down the street, saw a sign. He said, I know, I've seen a sign, chiropractor. We went to the chiropractor's office and so the nurse was there and she said, won't you wait? The doctor will be with you in a few minutes. And I sat down there. Well, I didn't want to take, have to take my shirt off and the guy go down my spine. I was a little worried about it being a quack anyway. So it wasn't long till the door opened. Out came a lady dressed in white she said, I can see you now. I said, I'm waiting for the doctor. And she said, I am the doctor. And I said, I'll see if I can find the patient for you. I'm not about to take my shirt off and have a lady playing around with my spine. So I took off. I mean, I just took off. I was like Joseph. I just left my garment and ran. I took off. Of course, I was concerned I couldn't do that. But all of us have known certain people in town that turned out not to be the right kind of doctors. They're quacks, didn't have credentials and so forth. And the Lord said, okay, he said, salvation is like this. You are sick. That represents you're sinful. I am the great physician. I am the healer. I'm the one that can... I've got on mine now. Only other time I ever did that, and I got to get off of mine. I got to leave the sermon again, and the only other time I did anything like that was when I was in Houston, Texas, and went to a barber shop, and there were 6 lady barbers. And I ran again. I didn't stay there either. But anyway, the Lord said, you're sick. That's sin. I'm the physician. You need to get the physician. I can save you. You come to me and I'll forgive you and save you and give you strength and give you a prescription that'll save your soul and take you to heaven when you die. But he said, you got to watch out. He said there are physicians of no value. They're quack physicians. Now, how can we tell these quack physicians? There's one way you can tell the quack physicians. Our Lord tells us. I won't ask you to turn to it, but I want to read one verse in Job. I hope I can find it. Didn't intend to do it, but I want to read one verse so that you know how you can tell a quack physician spiritually. Here it is. But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God, and talk deceitfully of him? Will ye accept his person? Now that's the way you tell a quack. Spiritual quack. Will ye accept his person? Anybody who tells you anything about being saved, young people. Anybody who tells you anything about being saved apart from accepting the person of Christ is a quack. He's a physician of no value. That means a man that tells you, you come and bow down before me and kiss my toe and I'll absolve your sins. He's a quack. He's a physician of no value. Why? He does not tell you that salvation is accepting his person, the person of Christ. Anybody who tells you that you get baptized and you've got to get baptized to be saved, you've got to go in water and have a fellow baptized. If you don't, you're not saved. He's a quack. Why? He's telling you something for salvation except the trusting of his person. You see, salvation is by trusting not a church, not joining a church, not taking a sacrament, not adhering to a tradition, not going through a ritual. Salvation is trusting a person. And our Lord plainly tells you, watch out for physicians of no value. Be careful about physicians that can't make you well. How can we tell who they are? Physicians who tell you to trust anything other than the person of Jesus Christ. If folks could just get one thing straight. Brother Bordway, I'll use you this morning. You just happen to be sitting in the wrong seat. And I'll use you. And so I come along and I say, Brother John, come here. I want to show you how I want you to meet Brother Bordway. Introduce me, Brother Bordway. Introduce me, Brother Bordway. Now I'd like to meet Mr. Bordway here. Would you introduce me?
Brother Hiles, this is Brother Bordway. Brother Bordway. Brother
Hiles.
Right there.
Have I met Mr. Bordway? Let him pour the juice for me. Okay. Does that take care of you meeting Mr. Bordway? Then what do you think taking communion is going to do for you toward getting you to heaven then? Well, I'll go upstairs. I'm not going to go through this. I'll go upstairs and get baptized. Does that mean I know Mr. Bordway? No. Let's suppose that I join the Bordway family. I go down to the lawyer and I say, I want my name to be Bordway. Does that mean I know Mr. Bordway? No, it doesn't. Thank you, fellas. Listen to me. You hear me. Anybody who tells any way to get to heaven apart from receiving the person of Christ, he's a quack. And this morning, may I say very plainly, as I've said before, you will not know God till you accept the person of his Son. You will not know God until you say, I'm not trusting my church. I'm not trusting my communion. I'm not trusting my confirmation. I'm not trusting my baptism. I'm not trusting my good works. I am trusting the person of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not in a church. It is not in an ordinance. It's not in a ritual. It's in a person. In the person of God's only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, good God, the world could know that. Now you sit with the house. All religions are good. No, they're not. Not any more than all doctors are good. Some are quacks and some are real. Some are good physicians. Some are physicians of no value. How can you tell a church, a preacher, a denomination, a religion that tells you you've got to do anything in this world apart from trusting what Jesus did for you and his person is a physician of no value. Now listen to me. What kind of doctor are you visiting today? Who is your doctor? If I ask you this morning, if I walked up and down these rows and asked house this morning, are you saved? Do you know you're saved? And you said, yes, I'm a Christian. And I said, how do you know? If you said this morning, because I belong to a church, you have a physician of no value. If you said this morning, because I was confirmed when I was a child, you're trusting a physician of no value. If you say this morning, I'm saved because I was baptized as a baby, you're trusting a physician of no value. Unless you can say to me this morning and to God Almighty and to yourself, your own heart also, I knew one day I was a sinner and I knew I was lost and I knew that Jesus died for me as my substitute on the cross and I came to him personally and said, dear God, I trust Christ as my Savior as a person. Unless you can say that, you have a physician of no value. You're lost in your sins. You'll die and spend eternity without God. Why? Because you're trusting a physician of no value. That means if you're trusting your good life to save you, you're trusting a physician of no value. If you're trusting joining a church to save you, you're trusting a physician of no value. If you're trusting a confirmation to save you, you're trusting a physician of no value. If you're trusting belief in God to save you, you're trusting a physician of no value. If you're trusting attending church every Sunday to save you, you're trusting a physician of no value. There's only one physician who can save you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the fourth thing, first is, one, our Lord spoke concerning us as being sick people. Two, he said he was the great physician. Three, he warned us of quacks. Now, four, okay, how do you get to Dr. Jesus? He's the great physician. I'm sick. How do I get to him? How do I get the cure? All right, let's just figure. How do you get the cure if you're physically sick? You got a pain in your tummy. Now, with me, it's always in my chest, right up in here. I have 3 or 4 heart attacks a week. And but you got a pain in your tummy. And so what do? I have a sinus problem that usually, when it gets infected, it drains down in here and it gives me bronchitis and have voice trouble. So I go to the doctor. I say, Doc, I'm sick. I need help. He says, well, go home, go to bed 3 days and take this medicine. I said, go to bed, nothing. I said, I got to preach tonight in Timbuktu, Kansas. He says, Reverend, you've got to go to bed. I said, well, okay, I'm going to go to bed. As soon as I finish preaching tonight, I plan to go to bed. But now look, Reverend, you're sick. I said, I haven't got time to be sick. Now, that's what you're for, to make me well. And he says, well, I'll do what I'll do. I'll do the best I can. I said, look, what's the biggest shot you've given lately? He says, oh, so many cc's. I said, I want one twice that big. A needle about half as big, by the way. But give me a big shot. Give me, I haven't got time to quit preaching. I haven't got time to go to bed. He said, Reverend, I can't make you well because you won't stop. You go too fast. I said, well, I'm sorry. You got to keep me well now. And I go to the doctor. What do I say? I yield myself to his examination. He puts that cold thing on my chest, always is cold, and the thud thud, and he finds my heart still beating, and I'm always pleased to hear that. And he checks my chest all around, tickles me a little bit, you know, and he says, I tell you what, there's a congestion there in the bronchial tubes. Always is. That's the only thing I ever have wrong. Congestion there in the bronchial tubes. And he says, I'll write you a prescription. So he gets that pen. And I'm always worried about it. I can't read a thing, he says. And I don't see how the druggist can either. And so he writes that thing, and I take the druggist. And I take his medicine. Why? Because I trust him. You think, I say, well, I just don't believe like the doctor. No, I don't have to believe like the doctor. All I got to do is trust the doctor. I'm sick. He's the doctor. I go see him. I yield myself to him. He prescribes. I take his medicine and get well. Now, that's the way you get saved. That's the only way you get saved. You realize that you're sick, and you go to Jesus, and you say, Jesus, I'm sick. And Jesus says, all right, let me see what's wrong. And so he holds the stethoscope up, and finds out you've got this sin, and this sin, and the fact that you're not saved. And he says, okay, I shed my blood 2,000 years ago on the cross, and if you'll trust me and take my medicine, I'll take you to heaven when you die. And you say, dear physician, I trust you, and I take you as my Savior. And that moment, God forgives every sin, makes you his child. But wait a minute. I could say to the doctor, doctor, I'm sincere. I like you. That doesn't save me. Liking the doctor doesn't make me well. Now, I could say, all hail the power of the doctor's name. That doesn't make me well. It's not worshiping the doctor that makes me well. It's not, I could go to the doctor every day. It's not going to the doctor that makes me well. It's trusting the doctor's prescription that makes me well. I could become a doctor myself and not even be well. It's trusting the doctor's prescription. And Christ is the great physician. Oh, this morning, are you trusting a physician of no value? Are you trusting some good deed you've done or some church you join or some ritual that you endure? Are you trusting some organization? I talked to a man over here on State Street one time. I said, are you saved? He held a big Masonic ring up and he said, yep, and that shows it. Well, he's got a hole in his head and he's going to go to hell if that's what he's trusting. Joining a Masonic lodge won't get you an inch toward heaven. Joining a Baptist church won't get you an inch toward heaven. Becoming a Catholic won't get you an inch toward heaven. Being confirmed as a child won't get you an inch toward heaven. Being confessing your sins to the priest won't get you an inch toward heaven. By the way, it won't get any sins forgiven either. But won't get you an inch toward heaven. What'll do it? It's when you realize that you're sick and you come to the doctor. Now, why do folks go to certain doctors? I'll tell you why they go. They go because someone recommends the doctor. They go because, you know, I got sick. Now, I don't like to go to the doctor, and especially a strange doctor. And I hardly ever go. I just don't like to go. So I got lost my voice last year. And somebody said, you better go to the doctor. You better go to the doctor. And several folks on the staff said, you better go to the doctor. You better go to the doctor. And you're going to be sick. I don't need to go to the doctor. But you better go. So I start checking around. What doctor do I go to? And somebody said, well, here's a good doctor. I go to him. And somebody else said, I go to him too. And somebody else said, I go to him too. Well, they look like they're pretty healthy. Most of them weighed about 240 pounds and look like they're pretty healthy. And I go to him too. And so I said, okay, I'll go. And so I went to the doctor. And you know what the first thing the nurse said? After she said, what's your name and your address and what's your profession? See, here's what they always do. And I go anywhere. Name, please. Jack Hyams. Are you, I'm he. And immediately they think all the good things they've heard about me. But then the first question after my name and address was this question. Were you recommended to the doctor? Who recommended you to the doctor? I said, lady, if you've got a whole page there, I'll give you all the folks that have recommended me to this doctor. Now, after they recommended, one person said, you know, I had the same thing, and he made me well. Well, okay. I went to the doctor. Why? Because so many recommended him. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't you think if 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 people could recommend to you Jesus Christ as the great physician, don't you think you ought to try him out? Don't you think if I say, look, I was a sinner? You heard me say this before. Many of you have. I have trouble with ingrowing toenails. In fact, I have one right now on my left foot. It's not bad, but I can tell it's going to be bad. And I have trouble. And there's nothing worse than ingrown toenail. I've said this. Leukemia, not near as bad. Cancer of the bone, nothing like ingrown toenail. Hodgkin's disease, nothing. Ingrown toenail is the most deadly, dangerous disease in the world today. And one day I mentioned I had a terrible one. I mean a terrible one. And I had just gotten up in the middle of the night and bumped my toe into the leg of a chair and said, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name, and a few other things I said. And the toe was twice as big as the hole in the shoe. And I told the folks about it. And so I hadn't walked off this pulpit on a Wednesday night. I hadn't walked off the pulpit until somebody met me right over here. Said, Pastor, I'll tell you how you can cure that thing. I said, how? Said, if you'll take a razor blade and cut a V in the top of it, then the toenail will grow toward the center. And then you won't have a toenail anymore. I said, I know it. I said, I haven't got a toenail now. It's all up. If I could cut a V, I wouldn't have any trouble. I could pull the crazy thing out. But there's not enough nail to cut the V. I've dug the thing down 2 inches in the quick already, or so. And so somebody else met me before I got to the door over there. And they said, Pastor, let me tell you something. If you'll get something, and maybe a little end of a pair of small scissors, manicure scissors, and pry it under. I said, did you ever have an ingrowing toenail? Said, if you'll just pry it under and lick it out right quick. I said, I'd rather have amputation than that. Out the alley. When I got to my office, you won't believe this, 5 different people had cures waiting for me at my office. Now, here's the reason. Every person had found a cure to ingrowing toenail, and they wanted me to know the cure, too. Isn't that the way it is? We find a doctor who helps us. Now, there are hundreds and hundreds of us who came to Christ as sinners, and we found the great physician. And he forgave us of all our sins and made us new creatures. We're on our way to heaven. We're enjoying the trip. And now I'd like to stand up and represent all these satisfied patients who've come to the great physician and say, if you're not saved, if you're trusting some quack, physician of no value, then I'd like to suggest to you that you come to him who offers you complete cure. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know you're saved this morning? Have you come to the great physician? Could you stand up here and tell me about it? Could you stand and tell these people about the day you were saved? Could you sing with the writer, 'Tis done, the great transaction is done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. Could you stand and sing, oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Could you tell us about it? If you don't know that you're saved this morning, if you'll come to Christ as a sin-sick soul and say, dear physician of the soul, I trust you to make me well. He'll forgive your sins, write your name in heaven, take you to heaven when you die, and make you a new creature in Christ. Let us pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, how simple it is, and yet people stumble over its simplicity. How easy salvation is, and yet we stumble and try to make it hard. Make it simple. Make everybody understand it today. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. May I ask you a question? Have you trusted the great physician? Or are you trusting a physician of no value? A physician of no value. I wonder how many could say, Brother Hiles, someone recommended one time the great physician to me, and I trusted him, and I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. I'm born again, I know it. He made me well. Thank God he made me well, and I'm saved, and he's my Savior. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the house? Thank you. You can put them down. Now, if you couldn't raise your hand, if you couldn't raise it, don't you wish you could? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing this morning to know that if you died, you'd go to heaven? I wonder how many would say this morning, first on the lower floor, Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that if I died today, I would go to heaven, but I wish I did know it. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm God's child. Brother Hiles, would you pray for me that I may know that I'm going to heaven when I die? First on the lower floor, how many hands would go up representing people? You'd say, pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. God bless you, sir. That's a sincere hand. God bless you. God bless you back in the back. God bless you, fella. Amen. And God bless you. Three grown men already in this intersection. Are there others? You'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that if I died today, I would go to heaven. God bless you, too, over here on my right. Are there others on the lower floor? You'd say, include me in the prayer. God bless you, lady in the aisle. I see that hand. God bless you back on the left. I see that hand. Who else on the lower floor? Pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Lift your hand, please. On the lower floor. God bless you. We're back in the back. I see you, fella. God loves you. Are there others? Are there others? On the lower floor. God bless you, too, on the front. Yes, God love you. Anybody else on the lower floor? You'd say, pray for me that I may know that I'm saved. God bless you, son. I see your hand. Are there others? In the balcony on my right. That's the south balcony. You'd say, pray for me that I may know that I'm saved. Would you lift your hand, please? In the center balcony, would you lift your hand and say, pray for me? God bless you, sir. Thank God for these men. Many men this morning. Who else would say, pray for me? I want to be saved. In the center balcony. The balcony on my left. God bless you. God bless you, fella. God bless that man back in the back. Amen. God bless you, little lady. I see you. That's wonderful. God bless you. Now listen carefully. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, may the great physician do his healing work today as the patients yield to his prescription. Now our heads are bowed. Listen to me. You're sick. That's why you raised your hand. Your soul is sick. Sin sick. You need a physician. The great physician now is near. He is as near as your heart. He's right there. He's speaking to your heart now. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. Ah, listen to this line. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Right where you are, would you say these words, dear sir, in the balcony, little lady, men on the lower floor, ladies, young people here on the front, every person whose hand was raised, would you say this to God right now and mean it? Dear God, I'm sick. I need the great physician. And I come to Dr. Jesus to heal me now. Huh? Would you? Dear Jesus, I'm sick. I need a physician. I come to Dr. Jesus to heal me now. Would you? In a moment, we're going to sing. I want you, when we sing, if you'll come to Dr. Jesus, I want you to leave your seat, come to the nearest aisle, down to the front, and let me know by your coming that you're trusting the great physician. Lady, you come. You men in the balcony, on the lower floor, leave your seat on the first stanza, come toward the aisle, down to the front, and make your decision to say yes to Jesus Christ. Oh, there's so many physicians of no value, but here's the great physician. He wants to heal your sin-sick soul. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead who can heal the sin, sick soul. Would you come to him this morning? Would you come to the right doctor, the great physician? Leave your seat when we sing. Come to the aisle, down to the front, and make your decision for God. Shall we stand together? The choir will sing, "Just As I Am," without one plea. No one is leaving unnecessarily. As the choir sings the first stanza, "Do not leave. Sir, you come. Lady, you come. Young person, you come. Toward the aisle, down to the front, on the first stanza. Come now while we sing. Don't wait. Come on."